baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and you fill in the blank. Summer and Chevy go together like road trips and sunshine. Check out the full line of Chevy SUVs and trucks at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers today. Chevy, drive Chicago.
It's because of this guy. His name is Tanner Mitchell. Tanner the Planter. How are you, Tanner?
I'm doing great, Wendy. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing wonderfully, and I want to congratulate you, Grandpa. You had a grandchild.
Can you believe it? We have just been on cloud nine.
What is baby going to call you? Papa, Grandpa, Goo Goo? What's your nickname going to be?
I guess we'll see, but right now we're calling it Grandpa Tan.
Oh, I like it, Grandpa Tan. Grandpa Tan is the author of one of the best-selling plant books out there. It's called For the Love of Houseplants. And, Tanner, I mentioned I was going to have you on earlier, and people were texting in some questions. And I need some help for a listener who has, she had like a whole succulent scene going on, and the only thing that remained out of the succulents was, I Google searched it, and it's a type of Hoya, and it's a type of Sansevieria, and she wants to know what she should do with it.
Well, I suppose it depends on what's going on with it. What I can tell you this, Wendy, is that all plants are going to be helped by bright light. Even your snake plants, a lot of people think that they are just straight low-light plants because they're so good in low light, but they will do best in a bright light scenario. For the snake plant, I recommend giving them bright light, which can be measured at 1,000-foot candles of light, and watering when their soil is 100% dry. Now, Hoya, and that's kind of funny you mentioned a Hoya. I just posted a video like 10 minutes ago on Hoya on my social media. They require bright light as well, but we let them dry out only about 50 to 75%, generally speaking. It is a really large family, and some of them do have different watering requirements. But you can kind of, most of them fall in that semi-succulent category.
It looks like kind of a she had a whole succulent arrangement, and the only thing left was what looks kind of like a fernwood type of Sansevieria, or actually it's more cylindrical. It looks like giant green beans. And then this viney thing, which I looked up to be a type of Hoya. And she wanted to know, should she separate them? Should she leave them in the same container?
Yeah, it's always best to separate plants unless they have the same care requirements. And although these are pretty doggone similar as far as the care requirements go, they have different watering requirements, I would separate them into their own pots. They're going to do better in different soils. I like to use a cactus soil for the snake plants and more of an aeroid mix for your Hoya. So they'll do better on their own.
708 says, please, 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 how do I get rid of moths in houseplants? I'm desperate. I've tried so many things.
I've never heard of moths.
I haven't either.
I will be honest. Now, it could be white flies.
Yeah.
White flies are one of those things that are often mistaken as moths. They're like one of the only flying houseplant pests out there. That and maybe like fungus gnats. But those are too small, I think, to what's most... would most people consider them to be moths. I like to use a product called Systemica. It's an all-natural pesticide from California. It's like really, really potent. It works extremely well. You can use it around your pets, your kids, all the things. It's wonderful for indoor use.
All right. I'm going to read this. You can answer it or you don't have to. You can do whatever you want. But it says 779. How old is he? Grandpa, I follow him on TikTok. He looks like he's in his 30s.
Hey, good call. Yes, I am 35 years old. But here's the thing, Wendy.
Yes.
I married a cougar. She's 14 years older than I am.
Oh,
so these
good.
Are actually my stepkids. I'm step-grandpa Tan.
Okay, step grandpa Tan. My husband is 6 years younger than me, so I was a cougar before I even knew what a cougar was, because we've been married 30 years. So, all right, that explains it. All right, I have an Audrey ficus, and it wasn't doing really well, so I kind of trimmed it. And it's it has new growth coming. And then I got another Audrey ficus that I saw that looked kind of sad at a big box store. And it has new buds on it, but the buds are kind of brownish and looked very dried up. Should I cut those buds off?
Yeah, you might want to try again. Usually if your new growth is browning or yellowing, if it's dying before it has time to really open up, it's a response to some sort of shock. You know, plants are really good at balancing their energy. So when they are experiencing shock, they're going to get rid of things that aren't serving them immediately, not feeding them. And what feeds them is sunlight, and the leaves capture the sunlight. So this new growth isn't totally advantageous to the plant. So what it'll do, it'll just kill it off. So this usually happens because of an exceptional change in environment. So maybe going from a greenhouse setting and then into your house, which is going to be wildly different. Sometimes a huge temperature change. Sometimes, you know, if vents are blowing down directly on those buds and drying them out really quickly, those are all really common things that can cause this to happen. So just trim right below them. And make sure none of those things are happening that can cause those buds to fall off prematurely. And then hopefully you can get some new growth after that.
Okay. And I meant to take a picture of, I love my Thai constellation, my Monstera Thai constellation. And I get so excited when I get new leaves. And they're really, the new ones are, they're so big. So that's a good thing, right? The Monstera plant with big fenestrated leaves are a good thing.
You know, that's a sign of maturity. So all things are going well. When you have a Monstera, every new leaf, when things are going well, when it's in the right conditions, all new leaves should be bigger and bigger and bigger. They can actually get even bigger than your torso while being kept indoors.
Really?
Yeah, they're huge.
Oh, that is crazy. And I do have a lot of aerial roots, which I knew nothing about until I started watching your videos. What is the purpose of those aerial roots? I think they're cool, so I'm leaving them, but you've said that you can cut them off if it's something you don't like.
Yeah, so a lot of tropical plants, which are a lot of house plants, they grow in the understory of tropical rainforests. And so for them to be able to compete for light, they have to actually climb trees. And so they use these aerial roots to attach to trees, and then they climb upwards. It's non-parasitic. It's not harmful to the trees at all. But they climb upwards so that they can get more light. Not only are they advantageous for climbing, but they also gather water and nutrients from the rainwater and the air that's around them. Of course, indoors, they don't serve as much of a purpose in that regard, but they do still serve a purpose in climbing. And that's actually one of the things that's going to help your Monstera or any plant that has the aerial roots get larger leaves is its ability to climb. Because when it has that support system, when your aerial roots are able to grab onto something and then can climb upwards, they recognize that support so that they don't have any risk of getting their leaves so big and snapping off. They have the support system now, kind of like humans. You know, when we have support, we can actually grow a little bit, huh? A little lesson from the plants. Feel free to tuck those aerial roots into your soil because they will actually grow soil roots from those aerial roots, and then they'll be able to grab more water and nutrients, which is a wonderful thing.
Look at you. It's like you know something about plants or something. He is Tanner Mitchell, Tanner the Planter. You can follow him on social media. You can get his app. And we're going to take a quick break and tell you about his... He's going live tonight with some plants, right? It's live tonight with your plant sale?
That's right. On the Tanner the Planter app at 6:30, we're about to go live, yeah.
All righty. So that's happening tonight. For the love of houseplants, you can pick up his book wherever plants are sold. I swear I use it like my encyclopedia. I look stuff up all the time. And if you have a question, text us or call us, 312-981-7200. Coming up in less than 45 minutes, Tanner's going to go live on his app, Tanner the Planter. And you can purchase plants from Tanner. And they will be shipped off in wonderful conditions. A lot of questions for you, Grandpa Tan. This honestly says 309 for Grandpa Tan. We have an arrowhead plant that is thriving since 2018. We leave it out in the shaded front porch during the summer, but bring it inside when it's too cold to be outside. It pouts and pouts when we bring it back in, but it becomes massive when it's outside. When would be the best time to repot this?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. I love syngonium. The best time to repot them is actually right now during the spring, and early summer is going to be fantastic because the number one thing that's going to help them get over the shock of transplant is light. So while our days are longest, that's going to be the best time.
Yes, we're coming into a good season now here in Chicago for growth for all of our plants, indoors and out. 312, please ask if it's true that Ficus benjamina are a major allergen source and shouldn't be kept in bedrooms.
I've never heard that they're a major allergen source. I guess that would depend on the person, if you're allergic to them or not. But they also, you know, would need to flower, which they're never going to flower indoors, you know, to produce a lot of pollen. So I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I haven't really either. 630, I received an orchid as a gift. It's about 22 inches tall. It's in a pot about 3 inches in diameter. Should I be repotting this or leave it in that 3-inch pot?
It's always a good idea. You know, orchids don't really care what size of pot they're in. The smaller, the better, really. They actually are one of those plants that grow on the sides of trees out in nature. And so their roots are constantly exposed to oxygen. And the smaller the pot that you have them in, the more access to oxygen they're going to have. So, but I mean, if you want to put it in a larger pot, that's perfectly fine as well. I just recommend going up 1 to 2 inches larger at most in pot size diameter. And that would be a great time to do it. But again, you don't really have to do it. And I like to do it when there are no flowers present on the orchid. So once the bloom cycle is done, perfect time to repot.
I was watching a video of yours about repotting things and when it's necessary to kind of spread out the roots at the bottom. You don't necessarily have to, do you? Does it depend on the plant when you're repotting it? Do you keep it all in its major root ball? What's the best way to do that?
You know, some people are comfortable one way or the other. What I always tell people is, neither method is going to make or break your success. When you see people loosening the bottoms of the root ball, it's usually when the roots are swirling around the bottom of the pot. And so by loosening them up, you're kind of redirecting them into their new soil instead of continuing that pattern of circling around. So that's really one of the the main benefits. Also, it's going to stimulate some root growth because you're going to break some of those roots up. And when you start to break those roots, it kind of wakes up and it says, oh, gosh, we better start making more roots. We're under attack right here. You know, you can imagine if a plant was out in nature and, you know, a storm blew through and broke off a whole bunch of roots. They would ramp up production to kind of make up for that loss. And so by kind of scratching them like that, breaking them up a little bit, you're stimulating some root growth. But, again, if you don't do it, nothing bad is going to happen. You're going to have perfect success either way.
What would you say the number one problem is for killing a plant? Would it be overwatering?
It's lack of light. Lack of light is by far, people way overestimate what bright light means. They think that, you know, bright light to them is bright light to a plant, but our eyes adjust for bright light. Our eyes adjust for, you know, when we walk into a house, our pupils, they dilate, so they get huge, so they can let in more light. And so a lower light area looks brighter to us than it does a plant. So if you can figure out the light for your plant, that's going to make every other aspect of houseplant care kind of fall into place and be much easier.
Okay, and finally, 224 has texted in, what are you supposed to do with the aerial roots and planting them? And I said that you mentioned you could put them back in the soil or just leave them. And she responded, okay, well, my daughter keeps propagating hers, and she's got like 15 plants in water all over the house. They're beautiful. You can take an aerial root and propagate that?
It kind of depends on the plant, but you can put them in water. So like if you have an aerial root, you can put that in like a little jar of water. Keep everything on the plant. Keep everything on the mother plant. But put a little jar of water in there, and it'll grow new roots and everything like that. But it's not, like a tried and true way of propagating a plant in terms of like whole new, like Monstera, for example,
right.
like a whole new plant. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
But you can definitely get more roots out of it. And certain plants, you can absolutely get more plants out of it. But it's not a general rule for all aerial root plants.
All right, and tonight, the app is free. It's Tanner the Planter. I have it, and at 6:30 Central Time tonight and on Saturdays, they go live, Tanner the Planter and his wife Erica and your crew, and any special plants we can be looking for tonight.
Oh, my goodness. We've got something for everybody. Beginners, we've had plants that we've not had before. We've got some rare plants. I'm looking over all of them right now. We have flats and flats of plants all over our kitchen. We've got Hoya and Philodendron and Arrow. It's just, yeah, you got to tune in. We've got some amazing, beautiful plants.
Excellent. And you can get Tanner's book. It really is fabulous. For the Love of Houseplants, Caring for and Keeping Plants with Confidence, available wherever books are sold. All right. Well, thank you again. I love talking to you.
Absolutely. If you want to keep up with everything that we're doing, just go to tannertheplanter.com. All the book signings, we're going to all different cities around the country. Everything that we're doing is on tannertheplanter.com, so keep up there.
And I need to talk to you off the air because I may have a hookup with you somewhere in Chicago to do a book signing, so we shall talk.
Ooh, yeah, we would love to.
All right, Tanner. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. We'll see you next time.